Okay, welcome back. A few years ago when I started this program, I named it The End of the Line. Still a name I use occasionally. I like it. And here we are. We are at the end of the line. Professor Eric Carlstrom is back with us tonight. Eric is a brilliant man. He is probably the foremost authority on targeted individuals, the whole tech world of TIs, what brain and computer interface can do and will do and will be done to the masses here as these data centers come online and are daisy-chained together, amalgamated, if you will. Tremendous power. They'll use the cell phone network grid to disperse their signals. People can be looked up on the basis of their DNA as well. It's all what I've said, and I'm not a sage or a prophet. You can see where they're going, though, and it's all driven by, unfortunately, Zionist, essentially, Zionist greed. These people can never get enough. Is this what they are, who they are? They have no apologies to make. That's just what they are. That's like spots on a leopard. They're there. Hello, Eric. Welcome back.
Good evening, Jeff, and wow, thanks. I really am honored to follow the last program that you did with James Martinez. You guys hit the ball out of the park, and I can verify based on my 13 years of experience researching the targeted individual program, also known as gang stalking, electronic harassment, that what you say is absolutely right on. James Martinez and Walter Boart are right at the forefront of exposing the unbelievably evil and nefarious MK Ultra and other mind control programs of the CIA. And of course, Walter died, I think, in the early 2000s, having left a tremendous legacy. James is still with us and still working. And I can verify, from my research that everything you guys said was right on the money. So congratulations, and I feel like almost can kick back now,
Well, you aren't alone. You're one of the very, very few, but people like James Martinez, yes, we get it, and thanks to you for laying the groundwork here, a lot of our listeners get it now. I mean, I'm happy to put my two cents up there, but you've been at this for a long, long time. And you are, without question, the singular source of information about TIs, which to me is pretty much could be described as a very long-running, ruthless, merciless beta test on brain-computer interfacing, etc. So, yeah, you've done great.
Exactly. Thank you. And remote torture, electronic torture, etc. And, of course, the missing link here that I can just say in a sentence is that everything you were talking about with James Martinez, which is now being rolled out to control everybody's thoughts and moods and emotions. The guinea pigs, of course, have been the targeted individuals. And this has been a top secret program like MK Ultra was. That was a Manhattan Project of the Mind back in the 50s, 60s. 70s, etc., but never stopped. So all of this is really the darkest underbelly of the American empire, I think. There have been all these horrible wars, mayhem, murder, death, but the use of American citizens as guinea pigs for these kinds of nefarious purposes has been ongoing since the 40s, 50s.
Non-stop.
And ongoing in the world, all over the world, millions and millions of targeted individuals who have had their rights rescinded, secretly blacklisted individuals who got on somebody's list or wrong side or whatever for something they said or did. Their rights are stripped, as we talked about last Tuesday. But anyway, it's all coming together, as you say, the end of the line here. It's all coming together, and I'm encouraged by what James said about how desperate the elites are. And we've identified the elites, you and James and I and many others. And they really are not like us. They have a different mindset. They don't really live in the real world.
The world is not our world. That's extremely important to keep in mind at all times. It's true.
And this gives me a great deal of, at least a modicum of optimism, because, I mean, there's not enough water, there's not enough electricity, there's not enough energy to supply the mega data centers that they want to pull off this total control AI data center system, which is just being rapidly
The poor people, their electric bills are going to quadruple. You'll see. They'll just take and take, and the people will end up paying, as they always do. Look what Larry Fink said, the chairman of the co-chairman of the WEF, right? World Economic Forum. Larry Fink says he now demands access to Americans' savings and pension funds to bankroll AI and data centers. This is greed running amok. It's unbelievable when you think about it. It's insane. But that's where they're going.
Yeah, the
human class is going to eat crap. They're going to suffer. They will suffer, and it's not fair. But we don't live on a fair planet anymore. It's unless you can make your own fairness at home. But this is bad. Bad people. Ugly people. Dark people. Please continue.
Yeah, and I like James' word, anti-Goyamite.
Oh, that's a great term. Yeah. Yeah.
They're anti-Goyamites. They look at us as cattle, as insects, as non-humans. And, of course, I think what is very pertinent in all of this and keeps coming back to me, it goes right back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, you shall be as gods, and surely ye shall not die. So these people have in mind for themselves digital godhood, silicon-based digital godhood, immortality, superintelligence, and for
look
us,
at
of
Trump's
course, digital
arc,
slavery.
Look at the arc to Trump. Come on. The guy wants now to be on a $250 bill, his face. So they're going to create a $250 bill. These people are nuts. Trump is nuts. His ego knows no bounds, and it's extremely dangerous to the health and welfare of the masses, believe me.
Well, yes, indeed. As we talked about last time, I mean, Judaism actually is the worship of Moloch, who's Satan. So
right.
Anti-Semitism really is anti-Satanism. And this becomes very, very obvious with the Epstein files, et cetera. These people, there's no limits to what they won't do. They feel like they're above the law. And this is why I have some optimism. They're going to crash and burn. And I also believe in God. And, of course, these people, I think what they're trying to do is, of course, bypass God's world, a carbon-based world, wherein we live by his basic rules, and we get to live good lives in a beautiful, beautiful, exceptional planet that has been given to us with everything that we need to survive, with even more humans on it than we have right now. But this group, of course, crucified Jesus Christ, and they know they're going to hell. And they said in the Bible, you know, let his blood be on our heads and the heads of our children. They know they're going to hell. So they want to redo the whole system so that they're in control, they live forever, and they become gods. Well, this is the age-old folly, isn't it? I mean, they're going to crash and burn, I believe. So that gives me some hope. Of course, knowing that the architect, the real God of this universe, is in control, and they're going to hell. I'm sorry, Larry Fink deserves it, and so many of these people do, for their brutality, their arrogance, their evil. It really is out in the open, the spiritual battle we have now. But If you'd like, I can, Jeff, if you'd like, I can go a little bit into the technology, which I think these big data centers are going to explode into the entire world. This has been something that the targeted individuals have been putting up with, and now it's, I think, about to be extended to all humanity, unless, as James says, we're in a moment of truth here, unless we can make a stand and say, no, our free will is sacrosanct. Our lives are, you know, our civil liberties are given to us by our Creator. And Larry Fink, I'm sorry, and John Radcliffe of the CIA, I suppose if they were to amalgamate them into an individual in the AI world, it would be Jerry Ratfink, right? But anyway, that's a little joke there.
No, it's not inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean these clowns are not part of our human race. But I was on Tuesday we looked at these great testimonies of these brilliant 46 individuals and came up with who is behind the targeted individual program, which of course is integral to what's being rolled out for all of us now. And there's another one. There's been others, many others. I've got hundreds of TI testimonies on my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website, which I've been working on since 2016. A lot of great testimonies. One is a guy named Brian Coffron, who worked with a corporation in Seattle called the Security Industries Systems or something like that. Maybe that's SIS anyway. And he's made a bunch of videos. He's tried to warn people. And when he did, of course, see what was going on, he quit. And then he became a targeted individual. But he was able to spill the beans in a way, technically, because he's been on both sides of it. He was working with SIS. He was able to look at the computer screens at what they were able to do to the targeted individuals. So he, again, very much on both sides of it. And this little video here explains it a lot. He puts it together in 25 minutes. DNA frequency bioweapon links targeted individuals to artificial intelligence. And then he says supercomputer software programming will manipulate the behavior, the emotions, and the thoughts of everybody in the United States of America. Maybe now is a good time to stand up. And he's talking of these highlights of from the video are, yes, these are DARPA and IARPA projects, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency and Intelligence Advanced Research Projects Agency, and involved with a whole host of modern mad scientists like George Church. We need to measure every neuron and every brain for a long period of time. And Charles Lieber, who just defected, was found guilty of passing secrets to Chinese, so another Jew who just moved to China so he could keep working on super soldiers. Craig Venter, and of course our friend neuroweaponologist Dr. James Giordino. These are some of the mad scientists that are pushing this, and of course massive institutional support has come from Obama's Brain Initiative 2013, the Human Brain Project 2013, and what they call the U.S. Apollo Project of the Brain. And so the idea is to deliver a digitized model of the brain up to the cloud, of course. And now you have to have vast computing power to maintain this cloud with all this biometric information and brainwave information for everybody on the planet. So this is about uploading and downloading brains and connecting our brains to the internet. And how they've been doing it has been a tightly kept secret. Well, that's the TI program, isn't it? Among other things, James Giordano, we are targeting the brain. And we convinced, sure, me and my buddies convinced the government this must be a whole of nation approach because this is such a highball project. So, yes. So break in anytime, Jeff, but I'll just rattle off a couple things just to get, again, our audience acclimatized to this mad science, which is now reality. These are non-invasive technologies. Go ahead.
Hold on, because underlying all of this is the very real financial grief that has been decided upon for our immediate futures. By this fall, grocery prices are going to be another 25, 35, 40% higher. You watch. And I'm sorry to say it. That's why I urge a lot of you to go to Numana.com, buy a bunch of food now, because you wait till then, you're going to pay the high price. Get it now. It'll last for 25 years, and it's quite good. You need to prepare. They have no qualms with making us suffer as much as we could even imagine. They have no problem with it. Look what they do in Gaza. Look what they're doing in Lebanon. These are the same people. And who's paying for it? We are. Because our government is sending them anything and everything they ask for. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Cash, munitions, weaponry, tech, doesn't matter. They ask, they get, because they own us. Sorry, it's the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Good, very good point. Maybe I should shift to the larger scope a little bit here. I can get into the weeds about how this technology worked. Suffice it to say that our government and our great scientists at our universities are way ahead of us, and they have technologies that most of us would consider to be magic, except for they work. But and what they want to do, as you say, this brain-computer interface, creating a hive mind wherein memories can be swapped between individuals, experiences can be swapped, knowledge can be swapped, and we lose our free will, we lose our personality, we can be modified as needed by the powers that be, which have proven themselves to be incredibly cruel, unbelievably cruel, and that's all inhuman.
Non-human. Yeah. Non-human, yeah. Cruelty.
Non-human.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're talking way beyond cruel and unusual punishment, which is you know, in our Constitution is not allowed, you know. But they have gotten away with everything. But to shift to the larger canvas here, I would say that in terms of what these big data centers are about, Patrick Wood has done a lot of excellent work. I don't know if you've gotten him on. He's the technocracy guy, technocratic feudalism. And he has written a couple books in the last 2 years which explain a lot of what's going on. And he says what's going on with the big data centers is it's just like the World Economic Forum said, you will own nothing and be happy. In other words, they're going to take everything. And of course, if they can control our minds, maybe, you know, they can make us happy if they want, or they can make us tortured or miserable or whatever.
They can do anything to our minds. They can make us feel like we're happy. They can make us feel like we're sad. They can do it all. And they're going to do it. And everybody will no longer be combative. They won't be complaining. They'll just be happy and own nothing. They can do that. I'm sorry. I hate to say it. It makes me sick. And you'll say, well, what about human rights or the idea of people standing up for themselves as a species under God's will and all that? Look, it doesn't matter, because the machines that we are, and we are biomachines, we're carbon-based biomachines, and those machines can be changed, augmented, altered. They can be corrupted. They can be changed in any way that the controlling elite subhuman Satanists want to do. That's a fact, and I hate it. But I'm not going to lie about it. They'll be able to do it all. It's happening at the speed of light now. So fast. Go ahead.
Yeah, and he does make this point. I was just reading through one of his technocracy news blurbs, and he says that what he sees, he has to revise his time scale for these big changes all the time, because AI, as you know, is getting more powerful so much faster. And so he's saying now between 2028 and 2030, they will probably have implemented 10 waves, which will come at us from different directions, which will, you know, like Bank of International Settlements for this and such for that, which will have an accumulative effect of removing our property from us, so that we will own nothing and be whatever they want. Now, So I would just recommend to your readers, to be on top of this. I think, you know, this is a mystery agenda for these data centers. We're trying to penetrate the mystery. I think that this guy, Patrick Wood, has been studying this for 20-some years. He was a protege of Anthony C. Sutton. Some of your listeners might be familiar with him, one of the great heroes of our society. Wrote some very important books. So he started out just like Martinez was mm-hmm. understudy of Walter Bowart. He was an understudy of Anthony C. Sutton. Also, Mike Adams has very interesting ideas, and he's a high-tech guy. I'm not a high-tech guy at all. I know much less about AI than you do, and it gives me the creeps, the heebie-jeebies, as it does to Pope Leo. Fortunately, he wrote an encyclical saying that this has to be disarmed immediately, and it's a great encyclical, came out just 4 days ago, and it's his first encyclical. And it shows tremendous, I think, wisdom. So I'm moderately enthusiastic and optimistic about that. The Catholic Church is right. A large body of people. But going back to Mike Adams, he believes that the compute power of these data centers will be used to do all these sentient world simulations, which of course the Pentagon's been doing for a long time.
Well, it's war gaming on the people. It's what they're going to do.
Exactly.
It's war gaming.
Yeah.
But it's using a culture, a society, a people to. They know exactly in advance what's going to happen, friends. That's the point. They war game these things, and they come out with a scenario and they enter it and then they see the results. They got just a slight advantage over us, huh? Wow.
Oh, yeah. Now $1.5 trillion per year, thanks to our president. but Mike takes it a step further. And, you know, when you start looking at it, Jeff, all of the computer models that were used for this man-caused global warming charade, fraud, scandal, all of that had to do with vast computer modeling. And so this is what the high-tech sector wants to do, is they want to get better and better at simulating all variables in a system. And Mike thinks that the best way to do this, of course, would be to build out these super data centers that have this enormous computing power so they can run these simulations much, much faster than real time. They can do many, many different worlds at the same mm-hmm. time. And then they can, he believes, grow in kind of a fraudulent silicon kind of way, grow individuals with their own experiences in these simulations. And some of these individuals are going to emerge as being super intelligent. And then they can import those very, very super intelligent beings into this world because they know mm-hmm. the computer code for them in the simulated world. And then they can merge with this, they being the elite Zionist Larry Fink types, I guess. They can merge with this godlike simulated silicon intelligence creature and be God and live forever. He really has a scenario by which they would be able to pull off creating these silicon deities and then merging with them, which to me sounds utterly insane. Utterly insane, but Mike knows a heck of a lot more about AI than I do. And so I throw that out as mm-hmm. a possible scenario for what could be done with these data centers, what they might actually be for.
Yeah, and don't forget the other side of the data center coin, and that's that they want you and I and all of you listening, they want each one of us to have our own agents. They want us to have an AI agent to make life easier, more convenient, and more profitable, and more fun, and all the rest of it. It's all marketing. And anybody who locks on to this and adopts one of their agents will basically, at that point, no longer be an individual. They'll be part of an agency. And believe me, very few people will give those agents up after they become used to having them around. It's too easy. Life is too easy. People take the easy way out. It's a reflex. It's a terminal, a fatal reflex, but they won't give them up. And so these agents can all be instructed to act in concert to push any agenda they want as cleverly or as ham-fistedly as they want. It doesn't matter to them. They can do it all. They can just dial it up. We're at the other end, the wrong end of a dial-up world now. And it's in the hands of Zion. You might as well call it the planet Zion. What a tragic ending to a beautiful world. Although we had, you think about it, we had, how many millennia do we have to get past this idea of war and killing? Huh? We had a lot of time. And it's the same people who are triggering these wars now in many cases. They used to do it in the old days. Anyway.
Yes, Henry Ford said, round up the top 50 Jews and wars will stop.
You say that's a great statement. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. But going back to this whole simulation thing, well, so each of us in the sentient world simulation that the Pentagon has been running for quite a while would have a digital twin, which has all the data that they have accumulated about us. And this would be our quote-unquote avatar. And as more and more data comes online, our silicon avatar in the simulation would be more and more exact copies of who each of us is. So they're making a, you know, these are parasitic people. So they're making a kind of a simulated parasite world, which then can.
Use that for their wargaming. Their social wargaming. Yes. That's a whole world of duplicate people. They can run their scenarios right through them, and they'll get the results in advance. No risk, no problem. They'll know how to do it. So the advantage is them. It's not us. And we have what we have left. We have individual freedom. We think we have a right to free speech, although that's really coming under a cloud. We've got the right to get up in the morning and thank the Almighty, whatever your religion, for another day on this planet, because it is a beautiful planet. It was, and these people have done a hell of a lot to lay waste to it, but it's still there, and you can go out and create beauty by your actions and your thoughts. And so that may be one of the few things that they can't take away too easily. We'll see.
Yeah, well, you're going back to this fellow Brian Kofron, who came out and made a whole series of videos and got on kind of the circuit of interviews for the targeted individual community. He says, and he was on the inside with the Security Industry Specialists, Inc., SAS. What these people have done, he says, is turned this technology into a video game, and that is exactly how they approach it. They approach it as though they are playing a cross between Sid Meier's Civilization, which I've never played, but I guess it's out there for video gamers, on their computer, and Sims, S-I-M-S, where they are controlling all of civilization and also controlling people on the individual level. So it's not that this is something in the future. This is what the targeted individuals have been experiencing. They are the ones being controlled. There are people in, well, according to targetedjustice.com, this is coming out of the Space Force and Schriever Air Force Base in Colorado Springs. I can't say that 100%, but I think there's, it well could be, but there would be people there sitting at their computer stations with lots of screens, and with these technologies, they would be able to see out of the eyes, see what the targeted individual is seeing. Hear what the targeted individual is hearing by tapping into the optic nerve and the auditory nerve of the brain with the bioresonant frequencies that are connecting the individual with the satellites, cell towers, mobile platforms, airplanes, whatever.
Right. Right.
And so this is very, very, you know, futuristic technology, and yet it's been tested over the last decades. And certainly operational with the targeted individual program. And so he would make the point, and I would agree, that what they have in mind is doing this for everyone in the world. They also have the potential, actually, of doing this with all creatures, which is, you know, mind-boggling and horrible to contemplate. But these technologies allow such godlike powers in the hands of the few that the rest of us would have a very difficult time escaping this control.
Where are you going to go? Where do you run from EMF? Where do you run from cell towers that are the deployment matrix? Where do you go?
Yeah.
Do you live in a house where you've gotten some copper mesh wallpaper and you've wallpapered your bedroom and the ceiling on the wall, so you've got a Faraday cage to go to? That would protect seemingly somewhat, but that's maybe the only thing we have left to protect ourselves from this enslavement of brain computer interface. I don't know. It's so over the top crazy that few of the rank and file honestly would believe it or be able to process it. They just can't. It's not their fault. They just can't.
Yeah, you know, we really have a hard time knowing what the numbers are. It doesn't seem terribly hopeful right now, in the sense, if we look around at our fellow Americans, they don't seem to be, aware of this. But I was driving down into local Alamosa town, and there was a young man helping me load up some lumber. And he said, "I like your bumper stickers." And I have little bumper stickers like AI and big data centers, R, the word, the letter R, for the number four, R, the letter R, our enslavement.
Where'd you get that bumper sticker? Good job.
I made it up.
Good.
And I also had another one that said, "Occupied America, colon," and the next one next to it says, "Divorce, Israel." That's a new one.
Another good
one. And another.
You've got a secondary income here. Maybe we ought to get these up.
Well, there's an outfit called Build a Sign, and you make your own for like $3 a piece or something like that, you know.
That's good.
Whatever little sign you. Yeah. And another one was.
What did the young man say when he saw your bumper sticker again? What did he say?
He said he agreed with him, you know, and I would have thought maybe they were a little bit, you know, too advanced for him, but
maybe
he was right there.
Well, even if he doesn't understand, at least he grasps the principle involved, and he knows there's danger there. That's good. So we need to encourage that. Maybe he does understand that some of the nuances and ins and outs, but that's good to hear. That's good to hear.
I do believe, what's the generation now, the millennials? I do believe
Gen
that
Z.
The millennials.
The next generation is called Gen Alpha.
Okay.
They're up to
so
the
young
age
one,
of 13, 14 now. 13, 14 and under, Gen Alpha.
Okay, and Gen Z would be up to about 30?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, what they've seen, this horrors coming from Gaza. I think there's no way they're going to support this cozy relationship between the United States and Israel. There's no way. And I think Israel knows that,
Gen
too.
Gen Z is turning against Israel. They've figured it out. When they really find out that Israel gets unlimited money from this country and our taxpayers and our people, any technology they want, all the munitions and military arms they want, it's us. Oh, they're flying our planes. People don't understand that. They're pilots, our planes, our bombs. Come on. Our targeting. Anyhow, it's really something. And I do hope that Gen Z and you young people listening, younger people, get it and figure it out. Because this is the end of the line. It's now or never. You've got to figure it out. You need to find out who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. And don't be intimidated by any threats or anti-Semitism, this or that. You look and you make up your own decision. Make up your mind. But look at the facts, and they scream the truth. The data is there. You don't have to look for it. You just have to observe it, and it'll talk to you.
Yeah, it's so plain now. The really interesting question is, how many people are already under mind control of the sort that we're talking about? Because this guy, Brian Coffrin, said, you know, not all the people that are targeted with the gang stalking and the voice to skull, the synthetic telepathy, yeah. The voices in their ear. Many are just targeted for things like moods and emotions, and they really have no way of knowing that their emotions and their moods and even some of their thoughts can be manipulated externally. So we have to kind of look at our fellow humans now in America and wonder what, you know, under what kind of attack is this person? Is this person being manipulated using these frequency weapons? They can do entire regions if they want to make a whole area anxious or nervous or mad or whatever. With these technologies, they can beam those frequencies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
right through the cell tower network, the grid, and all the subsidiary towers that are, you know, in mid-block, they're 5G towers. There's so many. And I did misidentify the one website that you really want to go and look at to see what towers there are located near you. It's Antenna, A-N-T-E-N-N-A, AntennaSearch.com. Okay? Just put your address in there and be prepared to be stunned, unless you live way out in the middle of nowhere. AntennaSearch.com. So go look and see. This is the whole grid, how they're going to administer it. And as Nikola Tesla said, it's all about frequencies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, at least what I just said helps me as a TI kind of cut people some more slack, because, of course, I'm confronted with a lot of negativity. And, of course, there are many, many people who are paid to be gang stalkers and produce that negativity to actually sabotage their life. But then there's many others. You know, there's an article that I had found on the internet from 2013 from a group of Navy SEALs. It was something like, Merry Christmas, and here's what we're doing to you. And it was saying that the NSA and the Navy SEALs working with the NSA can take over an individual, any individual in the country in 5 minutes. And then basically steer them like a game of Sims. So it's not just corporations like SIS. It is our government. It apparently is the Navy SEALs. This is a group of about seven or eight of them who were confessing what they can do. So as I walk down the street, maybe Joe or Jane Public is walking the other side, and maybe they give me this really, really hostile look or flip me off or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they were technologically possessed. I have no way of knowing.
That's a good point. Gang stalkers are going to be out of work here fairly soon. They won't be needed anymore.
I don't know. Explain, please.
They'll all be taken over by frequencies. I mean, they won't need to hire people to go and hassle Professor Eric Carlson.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
I
dial
think that's
it up.
True, but yeah, but they have a superb system of informants and spies now. You know,
being a little bit precipitous, they won't give all of that up because they have such a bedrock of connectivity, that you're right, and that's true. But ultimately, it's all going to be taken over by AI predicated high tech.
I think that's the goal. But, you know, again, going back to this funny thing called reality, these people who we've identified abundantly, they have kind of a pattern which repeats and repeats. They kind of throw out what they want to happen as a bunch of predictions and wishes, and then they, you know, pretty soon that's come true. And I've seen this in life in many circumstances amongst the tribe here. It's a technique, but I don't think they're well grounded in reality. For instance, I think most of this tribe believes that the Earth is 6,000 years old, because that's what their books tell them. And so they might play along to go along with the story of, you know, 4.6 billion years, but they don't believe it because they are so arrogant and so self-important and so, I don't know, pig-headed. They're living in their own myth world. They're living in their
they're
own
living
mythic
in a,
world.
They are living in an illusion. I want to know how these people actually believe that 6,000, as a geologist, when you hear that story about 6,000 years is the age of the, I don't know what they call that. What is the name of that lunatic philosophy that the planet's only 6,000 years old or something? What is the name of that? Is there a name?
Well, creationism actually is, you know, amongst the fundamentalist Christians is very big, you know. I mean,
a
large
about
segment
Christian,
of the population.
Fundamentalist Christian Zionists? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, we're talking
here?
About the same people, mm-hmm. and of course, that, yeah. the tribe as well, because they're so interconnected. But these people are so enamored of every word is literally true in the Bible that they will ignore a world full of evidence, you know, the fossil record, mm-hmm. for instance, of dinosaurs, etc. They will ignore all that to hold on to the sacred scripture. And so much so that a national park like the Grand Canyon might, you know, have to kind of toe a certain delicate balance in terms of how are we going to sell the public on the fact that these rocks are that old, you know, because they have these pressure groups coming down on them. Evangelical Christians, Jews, etc., that this couldn't be, you know. I even had, Jeff, when I taught geomorphology at the University of Kansas, I had one of my, you know, senior geomorphology students give me a term paper on the Grand Canyon and the age of the Earth, and he managed to mm-hmm. slide it all into 10,000 years. And
wow.
At that point in my career, I had been... you know, I wouldn't say I was jaded, but I kind of accepted the fact that there are these mental blocks amongst the public. And I gave him a passing grade, even though I knew it was, you know, nonsense. But this is the world we live in. You know, people are living in their own mental frameworks, often mythological. So what I'm trying to say is that these arrogant, evil, Zionists who are determined to take over the world mm-hmm. for themselves and enslave the rest of us, and that's in their scripture, the Talmud. I don't think they're going to pull it off, because I don't think the American people are going to give up their land easily. I don't think there's enough water in our aquifers, or enough fossil Pleistocene water in our aquifers to feed the huge data centers that they need. I think they're going to crash and burn. And, of course, I'm going to help as much as I can in that process with my bumper stickers and my whatever interviews right. and my articles and my websites.
Well, that's what James said. He said it just doesn't pencil out. You can't have 10 or 12,000 right. data centers. And I ask, where are they going to get the power for openers? If that one data center in Utah is any example, the Stratos, I think it's called Stratos in Box Elder Canyon County, Box Elder County, 9+ gigawatts a year, and the whole state of Utah, big state, uses only 5 gigawatts a year now. Where is this energy supposed to come from? So you're going to see a whole lot of different approaches to trying to make up some of it. But they won't make up all of it, and the people are going to suffer horribly. Their rates are going to go through the roof. Believe it.
The rates are going to go through the roof. There's not enough water. The noise and light pollution is hideous.
Oh,
and if the people can't rally, if the people can't rally to protect themselves from these monstrous, even with the Department of Defense backing them for national security reasons,
right.
if the people can't rally, then I guess we deserve to lose our country. I mean, this is a piece of land that's been here for a long, long time. It's going to be here for a long, long time after we're gone, and perhaps a long, long time after our species is gone. I used to teach in my human ecology class that you know, there's about 30 million different species. There's been about that many ever since the Cambrian explosion 500 million years ago. But there's a tremendous turnover of species. The average species lasts about 1 to 10 million years. And that's average. And, of course, the bacteria and the shark. Shark's 400 million years old, that species. There's nothing, I don't think, that is going to prevent extinction of our species, you know, under certain circumstances. So it really is a test of our brains and our abilities to see if we can maintain our species. We haven't been around for, you know, for 10 million years. Haven't even, the Cro-Magnon man's Homo sapiens hasn't even been around more than 40,000 years.
AI could decide that we're not needed anymore and get rid of us. AI will be able to do that. Will it? I don't know. It will be able to get rid of humankind. It will. Not long from now either. Maybe it can do it now. I don't know. But it will be able to do that. So will the tribe and others who have access to countless dozens of things on the shelf right now, which would end all life on the planet. Human life, animal life, plant life. They've got total life-canceling bioweapons sitting on the shelf. They've had it since the 70s. One's a bacterium, the other's a mold, some kind of a mold. I remember reading the story. Anyway, that's a long time ago. What they have now is frightful, just awful. Shouldn't be in their hands. The planet, I don't know how we surmount this and come out on top and survive. I just don't. I hope individually there'll be small groups of people who are of like mind and who bind together, bond together to survive. That's what it's going to take. Secession of the states is another critically important aspect that no one talks about much. States need to secede from the Union, and if part of a state isn't happy with the other part, it needs to secede. It's like Oregon. It's that Greater Idaho project that they're trying to get somehow through the bailiwick of you've got to talk about jumping over hurdles, of getting to the point where Idaho will be allowed to move its border west, which will encompass about half of the state of Oregon. Because 14 counties, about half of the physical state of Oregon, have voted to leave and join Idaho. They don't want to be part of communist Oregon anymore. But why wouldn't they just take a shorter cut and secede from Oregon and become the state of eastern Oregon? Why would they go through all the hassle of trying to get another state to move its border? And then if you have a couple rummy elections in Idaho, a couple rigged elections, you're stuck with another communist despot in terms of leadership. So I don't know. I would rather see the eastern Oregon people become their own state. But anyhow, there are a lot of things that are going to come to pass. How successfully, I don't know. This crazy, corrupt, rotten, vile government is really beyond description. It's frightful. It's terrible. And there's nothing being said. No, there's no leadership there. Not since Massey left or was trounced in the election. Anyway, it's all not good.
Well, I guess the average empire lasts about 250 years. And
I like your perspective on this. Species, empires, and that's good. Good.
Yeah, we'll have our 250th birthday as a nation this summer on July 4th. And, I think you and I and the people our age can be grateful for a lot. It's going to take some that's work true. To maintain this nation, that's for sure. The forces
even if
of
we
evil
can
are...
maintain, even if we can maintain just parts of it, that is still representative of the values that we hold dear. The younger people now, given a choice, probably many of them, maybe most, would choose to join us. That's why secession, I think, is critical. But we'll see. We'll see. Thank you, Professor Sir. Excellent job, as always. And I just can't believe you being such a talented, gifted geologist, having to deal with these people saying that we've only been around 6,000 years. I don't know how you could stomach it. I don't. Gosh.
Well, that's the human condition. You know, we have to, at the university, we take whoever shows up, you know, just like ministers have to take whoever shows up, you know.
Got it.
But we can't decide. But, you know, in general, I think this is a good-hearted person. And, you know, I was not in a position where I could change his core beliefs.
You handled him fairly, though. That was nice. That was the way to do it. Nice to hear.
Yeah.
You passed him. You didn't flunk him. There are a lot of teachers who would have. Anyway, good job.
A lot
All
of
right,
nice
have a good weekend.
Kansas.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah. You too. Thanks so much.
Okay, Eric.
Okay, good night.
All right, good night. Professor Emeritus Eric Carlstrom. All right. Wonderful evening tonight of information, thoughts, many things to consider. I hope you will. We are really facing unprecedented times and challenges. All right. We'll be back Monday. Take care.